Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be alway acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'd like you to imagine with me this morning St. Paul as he labors over his epistle to Timothy, the epistle we read this morning. By this time in his life, Paul is a worn, spent old man. His life's cup is near empty, ready to dribble out a few final sips before the end. Sun-bit skin stretches over his lank bones, and the gapped mouth that once held too many teeth no longer chatters out long soliloquies. Deep lines scrawl in wild directions from the corners of his eyes, and the hair on the back of his crooked fingers has turned white. The scar across his upper lip, that reminder of a stoning, gives his hoary mustache a wiggle as it wisps off into his snowy beard. Paul's whole body and soul is a map of a long, tired obedience in the same direction. The map of a seasoned soldier, a veteran of conflict. His whole life has been a fight. Paul has fought to love his fickle churches, the people wandering over hill and underbrush. He can still see the desperate faces, the wild desires crawling under their skins, and yet so often the needy egos refusing to change, heaping up myths and stories to divert conversation, to scratch deadly itches. Paul has fought also to drown his own demons in Jesus' baptismal waters, his impatience, his own needy pride. And the weary Paul feels Jesus' crucifixion in his bones, like a man scraped across Roman boards. The exhaustion leaks out of his letter to Timothy. As he dictates the words, he preaches to himself, coaxing faith from his tired frame. For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is imminent. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. For the rest, a crown of righteousness is stored up for me, which the Lord, the just judge, will give me in that day. And not only me, but also everyone who loves his coming. And it's here that a touch of pain flashes across that craggy face. Loneliness creeps over this worn-out man. He is left behind. He is betrayed. Make haste to come quickly to me, Timothy, for Demas, having loved this present age, has abandoned me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Alexander the metal worker did much evil to me, and the Lord will give to him according to his works. Paul is lonely. But Paul is not alone in his loneliness. So often you and I feel worn out, spent people, left behind, maybe even feeling a bit betrayed. Our life's cup seems near empty, ready to dribble out a few final sips before the end. And even if we don't have the deep lines scrawling in wild directions from the corners of our eyes, or that scar that marks suffering, our hearts are exhausted. Our body and soul is a map of a long, tired obedience in the same direction. We feel like old soldiers fighting a perpetual conflict. We fight. We fight to love our fickle friend who gets herself into another mess. How do I draw loving boundaries, Lord? We fight to drown our own demons in Jesus' baptismal waters. How do I let go of my overwhelming, needy ego? We are a weary people who feel Jesus' crucifixion in our bones, like men and women scraped across Roman boards. And the exhaustion leaks out in emails and over cups of coffee. So often we are talking to ourselves when we speak with others, coaxing faith from our tired frames. But in the midst of Paul's weariness, the triune God gives that worn out, betrayed apostle a friend. A friend to bear witness to God's work in his life. I imagine Paul lifting that white head and squinting at the adventurous physician, scratching away at parchment beside him. Luke alone is with me. Is that a trick of the morning sun shining through the window? Or is that a trace of a thorn crown sprouting from Luke's forehead? Is that a scarlet imprint on his left palm? The old man blinks and rubs his failing eyes, the eyes that are so bad now that when he signs a letter, he signs in massive strokes. For a brief moment, Paul thought that it was Jesus there beside him. Luke alone is with me. And I imagine Luke looking up from his notes, a whole log now of how Jesus is acting by his Holy Spirit through the apostles. Soon it will be the book of Acts. Jesus acting through the apostles and acting through Paul. Waving an ink-smudged hand. Paul, God is at work in your life. Remember, Paul. Remember how Jesus did things in Corinth through you. Remember, Berea, Paul, how Jesus did things by his Spirit through you. God at work in you and through you. In this lonely moment, the triune God gives worn-out Paul a friend to bear witness to God's work in his life. Luke alone is with me. A few weeks ago, I was there with Paul, worn out. On my day off, I sit at the pharmacy in Walmart, ready to get my shots. My whole body and soul feels like a map of a long, tired obedience in the same direction. The weight of two funerals in 2 weeks and all other responsibilities is drawing scrawling lines, wild lines from the corners of my eyes. I feel Jesus' crucifixion in my bones, like a man scraped across Roman boards. And the exhaustion leaks out in my conversation with my kids on the way to school. I feel like I'm preaching to myself, coaxing faith from my tired frame. And then the triune God gives me a friend, a witness to his work in my life, a Saint Luke. The masked pharmacist in his white coat calls me back behind the screen. And I roll up my left shirt sleeve dutifully. He sees my Jesus tattoo. You in the military? Nah, I'm just a priest. Oh, really? His voice changes behind his mask. Really, where's your church? St. Stephen's Anglican on Lakeland, just down the road. Kind of across from IHOP. Not quite, but kind of. He rubs the alcohol on my shoulder and he smooths one of those little round band-aids above my tattoo and then jabs in the 3 vaccines. Okay, go wait on the bench for 15 minutes. I need to make sure you don't have any reactions or anything. So I obey. And after a couple of minutes of puttering with his syringes and vaccines, the pharmacist comes out from behind the screen. And then he walks over to me, and he extends his hand, still covered with his blue surgical glove. "Thank you," he says. "Thank you for your service. Thank you for being a priest in these crazy times." And then he starts shaking his head. "Pray, pray, pray, pray." And turns around and walks back into the pharmacy. Is that a thorn crown highlighted in the fluorescent lights? Is that a bloodied palm that I'm shaking hands with? In that moment, the triune God gives me a friend, a Jesus friend, to bear witness to God's work in my life. Luke alone is with me. Sisters and brothers, where is your St. Luke this morning? The one whom our collect says manifests the love and healing power of God's Son in your life. Where is the friend bearing witness to what God has done and is doing in your life? You see, the triune God never leaves us completely alone. He always gives us a witness, a Jesus friend. Remember when God did that through you? Or look, there's God at work in your life right now. Well, sometimes in our weariness, we don't see them. But they are there. So lift your white head, squint, and behold the St. Luke who manifests Christ to you. And then give thanks. Thanks for the goodness of God in your life. Luke alone is with me. God is good to us. He is our gospel, our good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.